This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. Happy December, everyone.
Happy yes. December, indeed.
We are officially in the holiday season. I'm so excited about it.
We are wearing our sweaters and sweatshirts.
Our new holiday merch.
Yes. That's right.
Which I'm hoping by this time is sold out.
It should be all sold out.
It'll be sold out.
Come on. You guys should be getting it coming soon. For the holiday season.
That's yes. right.
Be able to celebrate with the first degree.
Alexis wore hers. What is it, at Target or something? Mm-hmm. And then like five people stopped you and said,
"Yeah,
I can give you a true crime podcast."
Recommended me things and we're like, true crime and chill, baby. I was like, yeah.
What podcast did they recommend you?
The psychologist, the Shrink Next Door, maybe? Okay.
Shrink Next Door is a good one.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that sticks out that somebody was like, oh, girl, did you get this? I was like, yeah.
Were you like, I actually have a podcast. This is my merch.
I didn't. I was like hoping they'd be like, First Degree is the best podcast
rate,
ever.
Yeah. Rate, review,
didn't
subscribe.
You know, that happens to me all the time when people compliment my Jack Vanek merch when I wear it. They're like, oh my God, I love your shirt. And I'm like, thank you.
And they're like, we love Lady Gang. You should listen to it. You're like,
no, and I never am like, oh my God, thank you.
That's
I made
me.
It.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Saying anything else.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't, you know, just got to let it organically happen.
Exactly.
Well, I hope everybody loves their merch. I had such a fun time designing it. And I think what we'll do coming up, you know, in this next year is kind of have some holiday themed merch. Like, I'm thinking
that.
A Valentine's Day drop will be next. We can have some like cutesy, heartsy, true crime, dark undertoned stuff.
Maybe Easter, a little pastel. Deli?
Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
Alexis's face, by the way, everybody.
But pastel
just doesn't resonate with me.
No,
in
but
that,
springtime.
Really? Yeah,
we can
springtime.
Have some
merch.
God forbid
pastel.
Our Lord and Savior rises from the grave.
Okay.
Okay, Billy, you go to church so much.
This religious podcast that we have. Okay, any other house cleaning we have, I think?
I don't think so.
Well, it is Alexis's birthday episode. We're celebrating Alexis's birthday, which is tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Oh, it's today.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool.
This happens every year. Jack will be like, not bring it up for the whole episode. And I'll be like, oh, also.
This is why I fuck it up.
Uh-huh.
Because my dog, when I was growing up, Pugsley, his birthday was on December 3rd. So I get them really fucked up because I'm like, which one? I know I have a December 2nd and a December 3rd birthday that are important. And I get them switched around.
This is going to go well.
It's still in. Okay, Pugsley. It was a childhood dog.
I know, but they're still in my mind. They're still important dates that they get a little flip-flopped in
it's
my brain.
Fine. I shouldn't even have a birthday because I'm immortal, frankly.
Immortal. I love that.
Yes.
You know, a tank is indestructible, frankly.
That is very true.
It's not quite true, but yeah.
In life and beyond.
This tank is indestructible, but most tanks.
I think Alexis is stronger than
your average
military
tank.
Me
yes.
too. To be honest.
Very resilient.
Yes. Very resilient.
Yes. The Panzer has nothing on Alexis.
What a birthday.
What a birthday. Okay. Well, Billy, let's go in. What?
I want to say, this is Britney Spears' first birthday. We have the same birthday, me and Britney Spears.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
in 13 years, mm-hmm. not under a conservatorship.
That's
I wonder
fantastic.
What she's going to do.
I don't know. Hopefully, like, go on a trip with her boyfriend or do fucking something she wants to do. Because I am excited for her that this is, like, I think about her every year, even though I don't know her.
Yeah.
Because I was so excited that I shared a birthday with her. And following what's been going on with her, I'm so fucking stoked she's finally having a birthday, not under the control mm-hmm. of this fucking panel of psychos who've been exploiting her. So I dedicate this birthday to her.
Yes.
Yeah. Love you, Britt.
Love you, Britt.
That's a great day. All right, Billy.
All right. So today is December 2nd. We're going to get into the dark day.
Dark day.
Vanuatu police in 2014 arrested 20 people because they hanged two men who were accused of sorcery. So anybody thinking that, you know, that... You know, when did the Salem witch trials? That was 1600s, right?
Yeah.
This happened in 2014.
I know. This is crazy. This was like 6 years ago.
Yes. So they said that there were likely to be more arrests. It was witnessed by 40 people.
What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, it's like apparently this was legal within their justice system.
The hanging of people accused of sorcery.
Yes.
I also think it's really interesting. It was two men.
Where is Vanuatu?
It's a little, it's an island in, like, not off the coast, but it's an island kind of by where, like, Fiji is.
Interesting.
Like a tiny, tiny little island.
Okay. Well, sorcery is apparently alive and well then.
It is.
I'm all for it.
You're for sorcery?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it was interesting too, because I tried to dive more into what this was about. There were very minimal articles about it because I was like, I want to know what the guys were doing that people thought that
what
they
kind of
were
spells?
Witches.
Like, tell us more.
Like, what was the history behind this all? And there was very little information about it. Like, it was just this one article for the most part.
Did you guys read The Crucible growing up?
No.
Yes, but like, I don't remember it.
Yeah, but it was just like, so it was such a great book. And it was obviously, it was reflecting the Red Scare at the time. I mean, he wrote it because it was all about, you know, the Red Scare and all about, like, you know, gang mentality of trying to eliminate somebody from society because they thought something different.
Right.
And I don't know what these guys were doing. Maybe they were doing something that was completely nefarious, but doesn't seem like they were doing that much.
No. And there was a quote that says, until the parliament passes a law to do with sorcery and all of this black magic, we will have an alternative option on how to handle these people who commit these crimes. So... they're still dealing with it over there.
Yeah,
but like, I think sorcery is, if you can catch someone practicing sorcery effectively, you should really just
be friendly.
Profit
harness.
Off of this.
Harness that.
Harness and do like fucking trade shows. Do fucking like show us. Like, I want to fucking
have a
levitate.
Traveling sorcery
Dude,
show.
When we were growing up, like, as little girls, Billy, I don't know if men do this. Little girls are so into seances and watching The Craft and being like, I'm a witch. Let's build a fort. Let's go in the woods. Let's, like, this is what little girls love. Like, I just want to be a sorceress witch so bad, which is why I'm happy this fell on my birthday, because this is a dream of mine. It's something we all were so stoked on, and like the urban legends of being able to like levitate your friends.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Light girls, as a feather, stiff as a board.
Exactly. We all did that stuff. So it's like, I can't believe people hate sorcery when all I want is sorcery, frankly.
I can't remember if I've told the story on the podcast before, but like when I was in church camp, I befriended this comedy duo. Did I talk about this before? Craig
no,
and Jake?
But I'm here. Oh, yes. And you talked to the one guy, right?
Well, yeah, I was like obsessed with Craig. And anyways, it was when I thought I was like a really strong Christian. And but then I started hypnotizing my friends. And I really thought that I could do it because my friend played along and she was just like doing all these crazy things. And I'm like, oh my God, I have this power. I was like in seventh grade.
It's when they play along is really can help with that grandiose personality
and
disorder.
No, it was like insane. Like every, and then she'd like wake up. She'd be like, what happened? I really thought I had a power. And anyways, but then I emailed Craig and I was asking him if it was a sin that I was hypnotizing my friends.
What did he say?
He was like, you probably shouldn't do that.
Mm.
And then I stopped it. But you know, who knows? I could have had all of this magic within me that just got really...
You could have been on the comedy circuit.
I could have. I could have been in Vanuatu.
Could have been you.
Could have been me. Could have been me.
Or you could have been teaching me to be a sorceress, which is my all-time dream.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. So close.
There's still time.
I mean, I don't think it's too late.
Do you want to try a little something later?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Yes, we're doing that tonight.
Perfect.
Me a little Ouija board action.
Nice. I'm into this.
Me too.
All right. Well, this is a great day. But when we come back.
The day of my sweet, sweet birth.
Day of her sweet birth.
My mom didn't have an epidural, so it's thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. When we come back, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring person, place, thing, idea, whatever, something that's on our mind to the stand. We're either prosecuting it or defending it. And then at the end, we all vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Take it to Instagram. See how everybody feels. And see if our unpopular opinions are founded on anything.
Right.
So, Alexis, since you're the birthday gal, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. Birthday gal. I think what I'm going to put on the stand today, not that anyone's ever done this for me or anything or tried to, but I'm going to say I don't think people really like surprise parties as much as they pretend to.
Okay. So you're putting surprise parties on the stand.
Any grandiose surprise can be a little difficult for someone like me who needs to mentally prepare for pretty much anything and has got a little slant of neuroses. So yeah, I don't love like a big, like I would hate if a surprise happened to me and I was not wearing what I wanted to wear or dress how I wanted to dress or prepared.
Yes.
Like I want to, if I was surprised and I felt fugly that day, I'd be so angry. So I think what I'm going to say is I'm putting on the same surprise parties. That being said, if you plan a surprise for me, anyone listening, and just tell me right before. Be like, we're going somewhere tonight and you need to be wearing this or that. Like you need to tell me so I'm prepared for the surprise or trick me into being prepared for the surprise. But a cold surprise is unacceptable.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is like have somebody that's saying like, hey, we're going to go out to a really nice dinner. You have to dress really nice.
Yeah.
Like look gorgeous. That's what I want to be told. Look gorgeous before you leave the house.
Be a lot of famous people there.
Or just like, I want to take us to take photos tonight. Trick me, manipulate me into thinking I need to look amazing or feel amazing. Because if I'm just cold fucking surprised, it's not going to be good.
Well, it's like, it's kind of the idea of like when you're getting proposed to too. It's like you got to trick the person into getting their nails done and to looking good. Like you have to have,
and you got to know that ring size. Cause what if you get proposed to and the ring don't fit?
Yeah.
Then marriage over. Proposal over. Like answer is no.
No, I agree. I hate surprises for the same
reasoning.
So Jared's like planning this like surprise trip for me for like a moment for us because our engagement was so crazy that we're just going to have this like nice romantic weekend. But he wants it to be a full surprise. But I'm like, what is the climate? What type of an activity are we doing? Are we doing like
hiking
outdoors? Are we camping? Or is it going to be
dinner?
I need a nice outfit? Like, what am I bringing? As long as I'm prepared for the clothing and the looks, then I'm good. But it's the same thing with a surprise party.
Well, what has he said?
We're going somewhere that's cold, that might snow. We might be doing something outdoorsy and also bring a nice outfit. So pretty much all of the above.
Interesting. Well,
but this is exactly the kind of information I need to know to be able to enjoy a surprise.
Like, exactly.
I need certain information to enjoy a surprise. And I think the right person for you will
figure that out
because it's like, I also am dying to be surprised. No one in my life has ever surprised me.
I think everybody does want to be surprised in the right way deep down, but I think that is such a feat for everybody else in their lives that it's really intimidating and scary.
Listen, when it comes down to it, a surprise party and having somebody that has taken the time and effort to gather all of your friends to get something that they think that you will like, even though if it's not perfect, it shows a level of how much that they like you and how much that they've thought about you.
Yeah. I'd say love at that point.
We could
probably
go love
you.
Sure. Yes.
Like you.
And
how sad.
And they like Mike casually like
they
you.
They like you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know what love
like
is,
you.
Billy?
Yes.
No, I agree. I think that like it's at the end of the day, it is also the thought that counts.
Of course. It's not, but like it is also about you.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you better be prepared.
What's the verdict? Surprise parties.
See, that's hard.
Guilty.
I'm going to say guilty because it's just, there's too much room for error.
Not guilty.
Okay.
Just Ooh. Fly by the seat of your pants.
That's hard for me to do.
You don't really do that either, though, Billy.
Yeah, I really don't, do I?
No, so you just sabotaged our verdict for just to be a contrarian.
We still won. It's fine.
I know. Feels good.
Okay, I'm going to go next.
Love that for you.
Because it is the beginning of December, this is our first episode after Thanksgiving. I'm putting on the stand the concept of decorating for Christmas before Thanksgiving. Now, I am prosecuting that because I love to be festive in any way possible. Mm. I love to extend the period of time that you are celebrating this like fun, you know, festive time in your life. So I started decorating for Christmas like a week after Halloween.
I've already decorated, but I thought you said you were prosecuting it.
She's prosecuting it. I'm prosecuting the idea. She's prosecuting the idea of people that don't like it.
Okay, well, let's simplify.
Let's simplify this.
Yes. You're defending decorating before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Defending decorating before Thanksgiving.
Okay, got it.
This is going to make Instagram
just so it's not like double group thing. Like double. It's a little confusing.
There was a little bit double decorating there.
I love this.
I'm defending decorating before Thanksgiving.
Great. Understood. Now here's the thing. We go through, we have a very weird procession because we go from starting the year over because we're trained after 12 years and then 4 years of college and then maybe even grad school of our year's start in September. So September is sort of like, oh, you're starting something new.
Yeah.
Then you're into Halloween. Then you're into Thanksgiving. Then you're into Christmas. Then you're into nothing for a really, really long time.
Right. I never thought of the year starting in September.
Really?
No.
Always have.
I never did.
I mean, it's like a different New Year's. It's a school year.
I know,
it's a school
year.
Yeah, no, like, I always never, thought of it like that.
Me, I didn't.
All right, we'll ask the Facebook group about it.
Okay.
Yes. But I think that Thanksgiving is a time where there's no real there in a sense where it's all about a destination. It's all about that one day.
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of, what are you going to do to decorate? And I think people really do love Christmas so much, and people like to spend a lot of money on Christmas that they want to stretch it out as much as possible.
Right.
So maybe a week after Halloween that they're going to put the stuff up.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you decorate and you get excited and you dress up for Halloween and then you're right. Then there's like kind of like this like lull of like, what the fuck do you do for this month? And then it's Christmas. But if you start decorating after Thanksgiving for Christmas, it goes by so fast. It goes by in a blink of an eye. Everybody's busy. You're buying all the presents. By the time you buy presents, then Christmas is over. So I like just like kind of sitting in that moment. Like we started watching Christmas movies in the middle of November just because it's like,
you know what?
It feels good.
I think what you can do though is I think maybe throw some lights up. You know, just start slowly. You know what I mean? Maybe not necessarily the tree, but throw it to starting
two
slowly.
Tiers. It's like for me, I've already decorated my apartment. I have lights everywhere. I have my tinsel tree. I have little knickknacks on the tables.
Yeah.
I did a cute job. The tree, the true tree, I think comes after Thanksgiving.
Agreed. Mm.
But I love the lights. And I'm with you, Jack. I started really early this year because it's like we need all the joy we can muster, frankly.
Well, especially after like the year of COVID. I mean, I think I started decorating like the day after Halloween last year because it's like I need joy in my life. It's
something.
So fucking sad.
We needed something.
But like we're still kind of coming off of that like another year and a half of COVID, so it's like we need these like little bursts of joy in our lives.
Yes. 100%. I will agree. I will say though that I'm not putting this on the stand, but it just shouldn't even be on put on the stand because it's ridiculous, is that you go into Target or Walmart, they started putting out the Christmas stuff even before Halloween. No.
Yeah, they did.
Chill
that
out.
I know. Right before Halloween, it's like I popped into a Target and I was like, oh, where's the costume section? It was already gone. On the day of Halloween, they had nothing. They had already put out Christmas.
All the Christmas stuff was out.
They cleared out. They were out of Halloween stuff. I think supply chain shit. They were out.
Yeah.
So I think they already just were like, fuck it. Let's start unloading our Christmas stuff. And I was like, devastated. I'm like, you're breezing through Halloween like it's nothing.
Like
nothing.
It's nothing.
Nothing.
It deserves a slight nod of recognition.
Well, they were like, you could be Santa for Halloween.
There is Halloween, or not Halloween, sorry. There is Thanksgiving decorations too, which I would actually put out if I had enough storage room in my apartment because I think that they're amazing. The gourds.
Cornucopia pouring out of, gourds pouring out of a cornucopia.
Yes.
Like all this produce pouring out of it. Like autumnal colored leaves everywhere. Like
it's so nice.
I
remember we had that corn, you know, like that multicolored corn.
Yeah.
We had that
the
and we pinned it up on our door and I think squirrels got to it. And then we found it on the ground, like completely eaten.
Oh, even though it was like, it was like, fuck your Thanksgiving, fuck your autumnal joy.
The Long Island squirrels.
That's right.
I'm confused about that. I'm confused about that corn. Is that corn cooked? That's not. Is
no,
it
cooked? It's dried.
Dried.
It's yeah, dried. It's dried.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like they freeze dry it or just organically dry it.
And
I don't
maybe
know.
They put something over it, like some sort of like varnish or something. But yeah, but these
varnish.
They were all like, yeah. we're gonna eat
hopefully,
this. So
hopefully it didn't have poison in it. Hopefully all they're right. still alive.
For sure, had asbestos in it.
Yeah. Okay, so decorating for Christmas before Thanksgiving, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. Just don't play the music.
Mm. I'm playing the music.
Mm. Well, it you is can't... after Thanksgiving, so you should be playing the music.
Yeah. No,
but after, yes, but before Thanksgiving, don't play the music.
I didn't start playing the music until after Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't really play music at home alone. Mm. Mm. I just watch Dateline and Law and Order.
As we do. All right, Billy, your turn.
All right. I'm putting on the stand also in the Christmas variety is asking people what they want for Christmas.
Okay.
That aren't children.
Okay.
I mean, you want to ask your children what they want, and I still do that with my children. But for grown adults, if you are willing to get somebody a present, either you know them enough or you don't know them enough to get either one. If you don't know them enough, get them a bottle of liquor. If they're sober, get them something else, a gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. If they are, if you know them enough, you should be able to think about what they want and be able to buy it.
We're talking about friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like just like other people in your life that aren't like immediate family that you would assume that would receive a gift.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that gifts in general are a gift. They're not an obligation. Like nobody should just be assuming they're going to receive one. Mm-hmm. Especially a friend, like adult friends, like you shouldn't be assuming you're going to receive a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. If somebody is thinking of you and finds like the perfect thing for you, then it's just like such a nice gesture to do that, mm-hmm. but shouldn't be assumed.
Well, that's what if the person was asking what you want so that they wanted you to know that they were getting you something to give so it wasn't awkward for that other person? Like maybe it was like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm getting you something. Like, so you're not fucking feeling weird.
But
if
then,
we...
like, how awkward is that to be like, oh, what price range are we thinking about? Like,
I don't think you have to go there. I just think it depends on the context. And also, some people might just be doing it so because they're fucking bored and want to ask questions. I don't know.
Also, some people are just really bad at gifts. Like, I totally get that, mm-hmm. too, where people just freeze and can't figure it out at all.
Even like, what if they're genre? They're just looking for a genre. They're looking for, like, a do you want home decor? Do you want an experience? Like, I think it's sort of... You're kind of making it seem like it's a negative thing that someone's trying to be considerate.
I mean, which I think is. I think it puts somebody on the spot, though. And yes, there are certain people that are. Listen, so
poor person being put on the spot because someone who loves them wants to get them a gift.
So there are certain people that are easy to get gifts for. Like I'm thinking of Steven, who is our engineer at Murder Squad. He's all about Jurassic Park and dinosaurs. Right. I always know that I can get him something. I can get him something dinosaurs and he's going to love it.
Very specific interests.
Very specific interests. And it's just like, and then throughout the year, if I see something that's cool, I'll get it and then I'll save it for him. Then it's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there are certain people that don't necessarily have all of those specific interests.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it's multi-layered.
Multi-layered.
It's layered. It's a little more nuanced than you're making
it seem. I'm still going to say guilty.
I say not guilty. I say like, if you're friends, are you really going to chat like, you know, crucify your friend for asking like what you want for, I don't know. I think it's sort of, you're reading too much into that.
Okay.
But I'm going to say not guilty.
All right.
All right. There you have it.
There you have it. Well, when we come back, it's time to celebrate Alexis.
That's what? Right. It's True Crime Rewind Alexis Edition.
What?
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh no.
We're in a period of rapid change and sometimes it can feel like things are spinning out of control. With political tensions, anxiety, and loneliness rising, and questions about how to live a good life on everyone's mind, finding answers can seem harder than ever. For millennia, spiritual thinkers have offered wisdom and tools to help people find their way in trying times, advice that even a scientist like me, Dave DeSteno, is finding have a lot to offer. To join the conversation, look for How God Works wherever you listen to podcasts.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree 50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real world, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
True Crime Rewind, the Alexis Linkletter edition.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. We are celebrating all things Alexis, and we want you out there, everybody listening to Killing Time, to do something that's a little bit Alexis today.
Ooh.
Oh.
Get yourself a little chicken nugget.
A little chicken nugget. You know, a little.
Yes. Watch some Law and Order.
There you go.
Yes.
Obsessively research something that you wouldn't normally.
Go down a couple rabbit holes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
So. Yeah. Like
professionally.
Tell your favorite Sagittarius that you love them. There's going to be something.
Have you ever done your birth chart before?
Oh my gosh. I have a giant book at home of my birth chart. My mom had a whole book made. Everything you could ever think of.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is going off track a little bit.
And I'm not really into it, but my mom is. My mom's highly into it.
We had an astrologist on Lady Gang recently that did our birth charts, because I don't know anything about astrology. I'm like, I'm a Taurus. I guess I'm like bullheaded and honest and loyal. Like, that's all I know. Mm-hmm. But they did the birth chart where they have like your moon, your sun, and your rising. Mm-hmm. But I'm a Sagittarius moon. Ooh. So I wonder if that has anything to do with why we get along so well, because you're a sun and I'm a moon.
I'll ask my mom.
Yeah.
She'll tell me. She's literally like she's a weird like oracle in that way. And then she had this giant book made, like everything's like Alexis is this. It's like a huge book, and it's like a how to, and a lot of it is not wrong.
No, this is the thing with I think astrology in like a general sense is pretty bullshitty, and even the astrologist was saying that. She's like, you can't just say that I'm a Scorpio, so that's why I'm doing, and like kind of use it as an excuse for all of your bad behavior.
Yeah.
But like once you start aligning all of these things, because it's like your sun is like your ego and your identity, and then your moon is your emotions and your feelings, and then your rising is the mask that you put on. So it's like, and then there's all your Pluto and your Mars and your Venus. So it's like once you put them all together that go to certain personality traits, it starts to make a little bit more sense.
I think it's super interesting and I'm open to it. But I think my theory has always been, if you look at somebody's astrological sign and you look when they're born, for example, I was born in the winter.
Yeah.
Right. So it's fucking cold. And like every year your birthday is celebrated in winter. And I think when you're born is actually molded more around sort of your environment and your circumstances. Like maybe you're a certain way because your book ended between two holidays. And
Especially winter birthdays are interesting in that way.
Or like summer, like you got to go like be outside and do this and that. Like I think we're more molded around like what spirits were people in when you were born? When you were being held
and
for
not,
the first few
and not
times,
just even like, what, when you were born, though, when you were growing up.
Growing up, for sure.
We've covered this before, where nobody would come to my birthday party because everybody was at summer camp.
Yeah,
because I was born on August 2nd. So that's sort of a thing.
But
where
at least
it's just
you could
like,
go outside, and it was the summer. Well, literally, then, Thanksgiving. My birthday's the worst because it's right after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. No one has any money. People will give you one gift. Happy Thanksgiving, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, Alexis. It's like...
I think the only worst time for a birthday would be after Christmas. Christmas and New Year's.
If you were born on January 2nd, you're fucked.
Between Christmas, like end of... After Christmas and the first week of January is probably the worst birthday
ever. Because at least if you were born like December 19th, you could at least go to a party and it's like... It's
you
also your party too. Like, it's also your
birthday
party.
Yeah, but you're
still
also...
I know you're... I know.
Also. But it's the worst.
But December 28th...
Yeah,
that's not great. Rough.
Because that is the week that like time doesn't exist. No. And like, but nobody really, it's either like you're on a bender because there's no work or everybody's feeling sluggish and like weird because you're just waiting for New Year's Eve. Like that is a weird period of time in the year.
That's right. Yes.
It's very uncomfortable feeling.
That's okay. Right.
All right. So we want to talk to you, Alexis.
Sorry,
we really want to find this out. What is your best birthday memory?
Yeah. What was your favorite birthday memory?
Best birthday memory. They're none are that great. None are that great. I have another bad one. When I was, I must have been turning 13. I remember my great grandfather, Bill Cosby, was doing, this is why it's the worst. Bill Cosby had just taken over Kids Say the Darnest Things. Being the host of Kids Say the Darnest Things, I was probably turning 13, and my great grandfather was going to appear on the show because like it was his show and it was just going to be like a big thing, and it was a total surprise to him. So the whole family appeared on that episode of the show.
Oh shit!
And like now I'm like, ugh, holy shit! And I remember Bill Cosby like came up and gave me a hug, and my stepmom was like, "I love you, Adrian. If you're listening, she's not, but it's fine." No one does. was like, it's her birthday. And he like gave me a kiss on the cheek. And it was like this super cute thing. And now I look at that and I'm like, that's the worst birthday of my life.
That's a really bad worst birthday memory. Yeah.
It wasn't great.
And it was probably on tape. Like,
it's on tape. It's on tape.
Yeah.
I challenge no one to find it. Please don't. Best birthday. I don't know. All of my birthdays are fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel too.
I mean, what did we do 2 years ago? Time is sort of no longer exists. One of my favorites, I think 21 or 20, I'll go with this. 21st birthday, the best one. Me and Louise had like a joint birthday party at Pink House.
Which was the house that Alexis and I and a bunch of friends lived at.
In like 13 years ago, 14
when
years ago.
When we're in 21.
I was turning 21. And we had a fucking rager.
We had a rager.
And it was great. Frankly, I would love to have a rager again, but I wouldn't burden anyone with that.
I would love to have a rager.
Have a rager?
Any excuse for a rager.
Shit.
Okay. Do you have any special foods that you eat on your birthday? Like, I have to have this.
No.
No.
No, but I want to have a special meal. Mm. And if I'm guessing right now what I'd want, I've really been craving In-N-Out for a minute.
Oh, In-N-Out tonight too.
Maybe we'll go In-N-Out. And then, no, it's nothing in particular. I just really want to feel special and loved.
Mm. Aww.
You know?
That's
I just
sweet.
Want to feel a little loved. I want to hear from, I don't need anything. I just want to hear from people I care about.
Do you make any birthday affirmations or / plans for the next year in terms of...
I think we all do that. I think like as you approach your birthday, you're sort of like, I'm turning X. Like, where did I think I'd be? Like, should I? And it's unhealthy. I'm like, should I work out a bunch? Like, so I don't feel bad on that day. Should I do this? Should I buy a great outfit? But I don't think any of that really matters.
No.
I think that's all a fucking construct. And I was just talking to someone about this. Things are changing. And I think the pressures we're all feeling as our birthdays approach should also change. Like women, for example, I've always felt this pressure to like have a partner, get married.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton just got married at 40. and is doing a show called Paris in Love as if she's like, it's changing. Like, we don't have to feel these pressures that like we always feel on our birthdays. Like, this is one of the most famous women in the world who's normalizing finding the love of your life at 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it like made me super excited for other people who are like younger than me, because I've been beating myself up every year for not having reached this milestone or that milestone by my birthday. And like, I'm loving that that's changing. Because like, again, Paris Hilton, and she's gorgeous. She doesn't look a day over fucking 25.
Yeah.
And she's changing that, what that looks like. And I think it's the healthiest shit ever. And I wish I'd had more of that when I was younger. Because now I have the self-esteem to not need that.
Right.
But like, I didn't when I was growing up. Like, you beat yourself up every birthday not hoping, why don't I have this or why don't I have that or why haven't I reached this goal?
Yeah.
And now these women, like Kourtney Kardashian, she's in her 40s. She hasn't been married. Like,
no.
She's doing that for the first time. Like, I think we all need to be ease up on ourselves, not hold ourselves to some particular standard. But normally, to answer your question that was roundabout, normally, yeah, I fucking beat myself up and have these weird standards for birthdays that aren't achievable.
So do you also know, you said that Britney was born on December 2nd. Do you know what criminal was born on December 2nd?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I feel like I did, but I can't remember.
Tex Watson.
Who's Tex Watson?
Tex Watson was the one.
Tex Watson. Sounds like a fake fucking
I also love the name Tex. That's Tex is cool.
Okay. Is his real name Tex?
It's not cool.
Oh.
Right,
when but you the hear name about Tex?
It. Tex Watson.
Oh, is that a nickname?
Tex Watson was the one guy of the Manson family who went to Sharon Tate's house.
Oh. One? I thought several went.
No, he was the one guy, though. It was women and him. That was it.
By the way, his name is Charles Denton. Tex, in quotation marks, yeah. Watson Jr.
Okay.
Yes. So he was...
He's probably from Texas.
He was...
Yeah, my name is Tex. Tex.
Yes.
Motherfucker.
Yes.
Call me Tex.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm so badass.
He was the ringleader of the... You know, he was the guy that Charlie said, go there, you know, leave
Do something witchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what it is. So December 2nd, there you go.
He was that. built. He was born in Texas, Farmersville, Texas.
Wow. Sounds enriching.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't text. That is a good name. Might put it in the
name bank.
Yeah, in the name
bank. Me too.
Do you have any other words to say about your birthday? Birthdays are stupid.
No, but I think it's a really exciting opportunity to like kind of reflect.
Yeah.
Like, it is a sort of rebirth every year. It's an opportunity we get. I'm just trying to grow and be better. Work harder.
You do.
Be less hard on myself. And I encourage you all to do that, because it's like, and you know, it sounds fucking hard, but the older you get, the easier it gets to be like, meh, fuck it.
You know, there really is like a sense of apathy that comes with age. And that's why you see all these old ladies that are just living their best lives, not giving a shit. It's like they spent a lifetime of like picking away at like caring about dumb shit.
Dude, especially old ladies, you have to think about the circumstances under which old ladies grew up.
Yes.
The most fucking rigid, self-criticizing, women
sexist,
can't do this,
yeah.
Don't wear this, don't wear bathing suits longer than this. Like, imagine
don't get an education, get married at 15.
Right. Like, take care of the kids, mm-hmm. Fucking bend at the will of the man. And it's like, they don't give a fuck now. And we should all like take notes and not give a fuck. And, you know, live life without inhibitions. And I'm working towards that every day. Because, Jack, you know me. It's like, I'm saying all this. It's really hard for me to act and, like, live in that.
Yeah.
Because I have, like, a lot of trauma and, like, a lot of pain. And I'm always just trying to be better. But I'm terrified of my birthday. So I'm happy we're having this conversation. We don't record these on the actual day. I'm happy we're having this, you know, a week or so before. Because I can actually start to... believe everything I'm saying.
Yeah, you can start putting it into practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody should do this.
Yeah.
Yes. Even have a fake podcast with your friends and just talk through
it. Or just like write in your fucking journal and be like, hey, my birthday's in 2 weeks. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to spiral. I'm not going to criticize myself. I'm not going to judge myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hate things about myself. Like, mm-hmm. We should love ourselves. Like, life's fucking hard and we've all been, if you've gotten this far, you've been through a lot of shit. So you should just congratulate yourself. Toast yourself and go on your merry way.
Well, and that's the thing too. I think that everybody kind of has that birthday anxiety. And I think that's all fueled by like, have I done enough?
Self-hatred.
It is self-hatred. It's just like, you know, just criticizing every little thing that you've done in life and the things that you haven't done. So I think everybody needs to give themselves a little bit more grace every day, even if it's not your birthday coming up.
Exactly.
You know, honestly, life is fucking hard. We live in a country where there's a lot of difficult fucking topics. Like, there's a lot of difficulties we face every day. And it's like, we should just be patting ourselves in the back constantly. And I bet you we'd all be better at everything we're doing if we just loved ourselves a little harder.
Yeah.
I agree.
And more often.
Yes. But we are going to hear now about the worst things that you've ever
we
done.
We lifted it up. We're bringing it back down.
Ever.
Yes. Ever.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. It's time for your favorite segment, where you all learn how awful the rest of you are, and yet forgive each other, because we all make mistakes and we're all awful, yet trying to be better.
That's right.
And what we're going to start with today, on this wonderful day that is December 2nd, is we have, like, in essence, an update.
Yes, our first update.
I feel fucking great about this, by the way. So if you listen to our cannibalism killing time episode, we had a male caller who described an incident that involved him and his best friend getting drunk with the best friend's girlfriend, going to sleep at her house. They all slept in the same bed. They were all wasted. The friend was passed out, and our caller slept with his best friend's girlfriend.
Yes.
After they were all sleeping together, he describes what is called a booty bump, which is where her butt was up against his crotch while they were all laying together, and expressed this sincere remorse at doing this.
Yes.
That being said, he was 16 years old. We're all sort of messes then. And he gave us some very kind words about this segment and about the show. So he called back because we expressed intrigue. I had questions, and I don't remember what those questions were, but I was like, what do you mean? How did that happen? How did you, can you live with yourself? How did you continue friendship normally? Like, I try to think about how it would go if I slept with a loved one's partner secretly. And I'm like, I would self-combust. Like, yes. I don't know how that would go. So I'm ready to hear what you have to say. And I'm excited for Jack and Billy to hear. Because, yes, like I said, he called back.
Let's
so
dive right in.
He doesn't have a name because it's anonymous, but here's our friend.
Here we go, caller.
Yes.
Hello, Jack, Billy, Lex. This is a follow-up call. You guys played my call on the cannibalism episode where I accidentally had sex with my friend's girlfriend. Lex asked me to clarify a few things. So I didn't feel like getting a hold of her by Instagram, or I'm too afraid that people might find out who I am. Just kidding. Not really. But anyway, I was 16 when this happened. It was a small town, and I think, all right, let me just continue on. So me and his girlfriend end up having sex, and then the next day, you know, we wake up, we're hungover as shit, we're walking home, and I don't say a goddamn thing, you know, and I'm feeling so much shame and so much regret, and I want to tell him, but I don't. It gets even worse than that. I spend, like, the next week just waiting for her to drop the bomb and let my friend know what happened between us, but she ended up never saying anything, so for the next few months, I told him that he should be really careful because this girl is going to end up hurting him. She just seems like the cheating type. You know, don't ask me how I know. I just have a feeling. And then 6 months later, she ended up cheating on him with the cable guy. Cable guy came by to hook up the cable and cheated on her. He found out. They broke up. I told him about what happened between us, and he was never mad at me anymore. He wasn't mad after all. It was one of those high school relationships that, at the time, maybe you're real upset about it, but when you look back on it, you just laugh and laugh, and really wouldn't change anything different. And this is mostly just an update, so Lex seemed very curious, and I meant to tell you guys that I'm very thankful for you advocating my bad behavior, even though I was 17. Oh, so Jack's always saying that Lex has an ability to, you know, like give people a doorway out or whatever. She would just make a great defensive attorney is what she's doing. You know, like she's taking the facts and putting them in a light in a way that, you know, people can understand, because people make mistakes. And my favorite part about my first call-in was how Jack and Lex talked about the whole situation, and then they asked Billy, and he was just speechless. I've never heard him so speechless. It gave me a big, big smile.
I wish I knew your name, because I would tell you that this call made my day.
I mean, it's very Alexis heavy, but it's Alexis's birthday, and we're fucking leaning into it. And also, it really just gave me the realization that you should be a defense attorney. Mm. You're really, really, that's your skill.
I can always find a spin.
Yeah.
That you can in the craziest times.
Yes.
You can always spin. I can always find a spin.
Nobody can argue like Alexis.
No one can argue like me?
Yeah.
No, that's true. I mean, and you really can, like, any time that we listen to, especially one of these calls, that I think the call will end and then Billy and I are like, what the fuck do we do? Mm-hmm. You're like, I got it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, in order to be, and here's the thing, defense attorneys get a really bad rap. Because, in order to understand where someone is coming from when they make a terrible decision, you have to have just incredible empathy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to be like, why would someone make a decision that is so destructive? It's like, they're in pain. They witness bad behavior. They've been exposed to bad behavior. They're oppressed. Like, you have to see about the root of people's behavior before you judge them.
Yeah.
Or at least you have to consider it as a mitigating factor. You know what I mean? Like, you have to consider it as, you always have to think about why people do shit. Like, are they disenfranchised? Are they abused? Are they neglected? Are they, just emotionally unintelligent? And I think that's the key. It's like, we have to just have mistakes and pain and hurting others, all of it is like people in pain do that. Hurt people, as they say.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of where my mind goes when we're hearing these calls where it's like people are doing things to be shitty. They're doing things because they're hurting.
Yeah.
They're retaliating. They're responding to stimulus that has hurt them or not. That's the thing. Like, there's also mm-hmm. fucking evil people. There's sociopaths.
Or people that just make one really shitty decision in their life and they regret it forever.
Forever. And that being said, though, sociopaths, and the reason why I feel confident commenting on the calls we get, sociopaths aren't going to call.
No. Because they never thought what they did
they
is bad.
They don't care.
They don't care.
No. You know, so the people who call, and I'm hearing this more and more lately, like the next call I have, like people are like, I feel so bad. It's why I'm calling. They're trying to get it off their chest. So like, I can advocate for everyone who calls.
Yeah.
Unless they're like, and fuck this person and fuck that person. Yeah, like even sometimes when that's happened, those people have deserved it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been against the law or whatever. So, you know, I appreciate caller. You don't have a name. I'll call you Jim. Who knows? This call meant a lot. Thank you for the birthday call, for the birthday gift. I know didn't know it would be my birthday.
But we need to talk about the call for a second.
Okay.
Because the fact that the girlfriend ended up cheating on the guy with the cable guy.
Yikes. Awesome.
The cable guy?
Yikes.
Dude. I mean, you can't write that.
No, you can't write
it. He just came to fix the cable and she somehow fucked him. What are that? That is literally out of a fucking movie.
It's out of a movie, but friend Jim, that's your name in this show now because you didn't give us one. She probably cheated before you.
Oh, she
cheated after you,
and she'll probably cheat on every partner she's with.
It's amazing that you got this life lesson because you did this thing. It was very impulsive, and you felt terrible what you did.
I'm going to assume that you probably never did anything like that again. Like you learned your lesson early. Like honestly, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that something like this happened to you in your mid-teenage years.
And your friend didn't marry her. She turned out to be not good for him. And I have compassion for her, whatever she's going through, like to act out in this way against people she cares about. That's unfortunate. But this was not a friendship breaking sort of situation. And I think that's beautiful.
Exactly.
And we all learn. We all learn. We all fuck up. We all hurt people. And we all want to do better.
There you go.
And I think you did.
You definitely learned from this.
Yes. And I'm going to enroll in college to be a defense attorney.
I can't wait.
Right now.
I can't wait to be a fan at your court hearings.
Yes.
All right. Well, since this last caller was such a robust
topic
situation, we're going to jump right into the Costanza stanza. So birthday Lex, take us into the night.
Okay. So I didn't do a birthday theme, George, but I did a sorcery theme, George, because that was sort of the theme of our dark day.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. It's called Warlock George.
Ooh. Mm.
If George had a superpower, what would it be? What kind of antics would he cause with his sorcery? Would he be really scary and haunt Jerry? How about Elaine? He'd make her burst into flames.
Mm.
Well, you know who's for sure fair game? Kramer, because fucking with him's a no-brainer. And don't be assuming that we'd ever forget Newman, who George would kill if he were a sorcerer superhuman.
Ooh.
Very dark.
You like that?
Very dark.
Sorcerer. Newman would be the first to go, and you know it.
Isn't that the whole
by Newman
theme of Newman?
Or you would make
in the
Newman...
In Jurassic Park, they kick that guy to the curb, too.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, but yeah.
Yeah, this 20-year-old movie.
Bye.
Bye.